This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Some Appalachian farmers are working their land the old-fashioned way and believe they're getting better results.
If you're careful enough to use horses, you're more concerned about what you're growing and you're paying more attention so you grow better food.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is provided by Luke Frazier. The remnants of Tropical Storm Debbie are expected to bring rainfall, high winds, and potential flash flooding to much of the state. In response, Governor Jim Justice has declared a state of preparedness for all 55 West Virginia counties. In a statement, Justice said he has ordered state agencies to prepare to respond immediately if necessary. The state of preparedness allows the West Virginia Emergency Management Division to prepare personnel and resources for a quick response to any emergency that may develop. Coordinating agencies have been placed on standby to report to the State Emergency Operations Center. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning in areas of Berkeley, Hampshire, Hardy, and Morgan counties until 8:15 this morning. The first West Virginian to go to space has died. Curtis Tate has more on the life of John McBride.
We have main engine start, 5, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have SRB ignition and the history's largest astronaut crew is on its way.
On October 5th, 1984, Captain John McBride piloted the successful launch of the Space Shuttle Challenger on an 8-day mission called STS-41G. He was the first West Virginian in space and the only one to ever fly a shuttle. McBride was born in Charleston and grew up in Beckley. He attended West Virginia University and became a Navy pilot. In 1978, NASA chose him to be part of the first class of astronauts in the shuttle program. Among the thousands of applicants, NASA picked 35. They included Sally Ride, the first American woman in space, and Catherine Sullivan, the first American woman to walk in space. They were both on the mission McBride piloted. It was the first shuttle mission with 7 astronauts. By the time they landed, they had traveled 3.3 million miles, one full orbit around the Earth every 90 minutes. McBride was scheduled to pilot another shuttle mission in March 1986, but the explosion of the Challenger after liftoff earlier that year put the program on hold. McBride retired from NASA in 1989, but continued to educate young people about space. Here he was in 2017 at the National Air and Space Museum talking to students about going to Mars with a Mars rover behind him.
If you get that assignment to Mars, make sure you call me. NASA will find me somewhere. I hope to still be around. And make sure you invite me to your launch.
By then, McBride had met nearly everybody who'd ever gone to space. And when the oldest generation had completed their mission on Earth, he was often called on to memorialize them. McBride died Wednesday in Florida at age 80. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
Before the tractor, farmers relied on workhorses to plow fields and pull wagons. The practice has mostly disappeared, often along with small farms. But a few farmers in southwestern Virginia never let go of farming with a horse. Folkways reporter Connie Bailey Kitts has this story.
Get up. Hey.
Today, Charlie Burnett and his horses Jeb and Rose set off to mow on a hillside with an incline of almost 55 degrees. We're up on Periwinkle Mountain in Wythe County, Virginia.
My biggest field is 4 and 6 acres, and it's mountaintops.
Where Charlie grows oats, puts up hundreds of bales of hay, and hauls wood for fuel. The land has sustained his family for generations.
This was a farm that you grew a garden. Maybe you grew 3 acres of corn. That fed the cows that you milked every day.
This was typical family subsistence farming in this part of Appalachia until about the 1950s.
All the areas in the Blue Ridge and Appalachian region got rid of their horses when they went to farming with tractors.
But not Charlie's family. They stuck with their horses for safety reasons, not wanting to risk rolling a tractor.
We had a team out of necessity here. We still have to have a team of horses here on this mountainside.
But the workhorses of Charlie's youth are harder to come by these days. So 15 years ago, he started breeding farm workhorses, like the old-style Belgian workhorse. Inadvertently, he timed things well because when the pandemic raised concerns about food security, more people started to turn back to traditional farming practices. Everybody I talked with about workhorses said there was one man I needed to meet, someone who had done this his whole life and was still farming. His name was Danny Wingate. Sadly, not long after I caught up with him, he passed away. The day we met, he was at his sister's house in Wythville, Virginia.
Come right on in.
Thank you. Danny had brought along a photo album of his farm in Grayson County. He showed me a picture of his wife, Clevie, sitting behind a team of horses during potato harvest.
If you're careful enough to use horses, you're more concerned about what you're growing and you're more in tune to your soil conditions and fertility, and you're paying more attention so you grow better food. Most of the time people, it's just wanting to go back to the land. They're concerned about what they're eating, where their food's coming from, the supply of their food, how many chemicals is on what you're eating.
With horses, you can reduce the need for chemical fertilizers. Composted horse manure helps supply that. It's a soil fertility practice encouraged in the regenerative agriculture movement. And horses don't compact the soil like a tractor either, Danny said. Of course, if you're planning to farm with a workhorse, the first step is finding one.
They've almost let the old style horses die out. Being thick bodied and good quiet minds and big boned and a slower, more docile kind of horse, easier to get along with.
These traits got lost when many farm workhorses were crossbred to make more of a carriage horse or hitch horse. They became taller, longer-legged, showy horses, and they could sell for much more than a farm workhorse.
The Belgian horses and the Percherons are a totally, totally different horse than they were even when I was a teenager.
And that's why Danny was excited about the horses his friend Charlie Burnett was breeding. We met Charlie at the beginning of the story up on Periwinkle Mountain.
Charlie's trying to preserve a breed of farm horse. And if you look back in the old Breeders' Gazettes and stuff from the turn of the century, when they were importing them, the horses they were coming here then were just like what he's raising now.
And back on Charlie's farm, I see firsthand what Danny was talking about, why it's good for an Appalachian farm workhorse to be short, sturdy, and sweet-tempered.
It is heavy.
So swing it?
Yep, you kind of swing it. Say, easy, Rose. Sling it up on it.
Easy, Rose. Oh, gosh, you might have to help me.
Okay, give it a toss.
Even though I need a little help with the harness on this first try, Rose's withers are not that much taller than I am. I got it on the second try. Most of Charlie's 8 horses are about the size of Rose, and it's a result of his breeding efforts over the last 15 years.
This is senior, 4 feet. More fiber, more fat.
2 of the mares get extra grain today. Each one is nursing a foal born 3 weeks earlier. The Blue Roan broodmare is a purebred American Brabant.
This is a horse I'm raising these colts out of to kind of be what I think is going to be the next generation of the workhorse for the Appalachian region.
That was farmer and horse breeder Charlie Burnett speaking with Connie Bailey Kitts. To hear the rest of that story and more, listen to Inside Appalachia, Sunday mornings at 7 and Sunday evenings at 6, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:53. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning in areas of Berkeley, Hampshire, Hardy, and Morgan counties until 8:15 this morning. Cloudy skies today, chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s and 90s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. High temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by Solar Holler, building on West Virginia's history of powering the nation by bringing solar power to the coal fields. More at solarholler.com. This week's Encore broadcast, A Mountain State, was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Moss Arts Center in Blacksburg, Virginia, on the campus of Virginia Tech, with host Kathy Matea, featuring a highly anticipated performance by Hot Tuna during their final electric run. Our song of the week is Hot Tuna's cover of Death Don't Have No Mercy, which is originally by the American gospel blues singer-guitarist Reverend Gary Davis.
No mercy, yeah, in this land. Well, death don't have no mercy in this land. In this land, come to your house, won't stay long. When the room will. Going in any family in this land. Death will go in any family in this land. In this land, come to your house. Oh, it won't stay long. Well, your family will be gone. Have no mercy in this land.
Hot Tuna performing Death Don't Have No Mercy on the Mountain Stage. To hear the full performance and more, tune in Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at noon right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.